From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
99 episodes ago, we were just two fresh-faced, fresh-voiced podcasters trying to make a show. And look at us. It is episode 100 of PDGA Radio. I'm Steve Hill. I'm joined for the 100th time, maybe. Have you missed an episode? I don't remember. By Sarah Sinclair.
Yes, I missed a couple.
That's all right. We'll round it up. Anyway, hey, congratulations to us for making it this far. Thank you to everyone who's listened this far. Kind of a weird time to be having episode 100. When I thought about this a month or two ago, I was thinking, oh man, we'll go to the party store and get like some those little noisemakers and things like that. And you know, party store isn't an essential business right now, so no noisemakers. But we will have a lovely interview with Simon Lazat coming up because he's always entertaining. And yeah, it should be a good show for number 100. So Sarah, thank you for sticking with me this long. How are you doing? How are things out in Nashville this week?
Thanks for sticking with me. Things are good.
Yeah, of course. It's been fun.
Yeah, we've got beautiful weather. The past week, it actually dried out. It stopped raining, and it's been...
Oh, you just sent it all here.
Sorry about that. But yeah, it's been like low 80s. The dogs are loving it. We've been spending a lot of time outdoors. I think I might have mentioned this on the show last week or maybe the week before, but we've got 5 acres. So if you run around the perimeter of the property, it's about 2.5 times to make a mile. And we did a 5K over the weekend, just doing that over and over and over again. And it got a little bit boring.
Yes.
So Sean decided to take the ride on mower and create a 1 mile trail that's kind of like back and forth through the middle. And it was way more enjoyable. And there's, you know, a little bit of elevation change. And I get to see like parts of our property that I normally wouldn't have seen. We're making the best of it and getting creative.
That's very resourceful. I did a 5K in my yard, it would be very depressing. It's kind of funny you mentioned that because I was just on Twitter and someone posted like, yeah, this guy did a marathon in his driveway. And another guy did one in France on like his balcony.
His balcony, yep.
That's like mental fortitude of a whole other level. I did 3 miles on the treadmill the other day because it was raining and I wanted to cry. Like I normally will go out and run for like double, triple that with no issues outside. But it's like the treadmill is just my least favorite thing ever.
Yeah, we did about a 9 mile trail run over the weekend too and went early on Sunday morning. We only saw one other human. So that was glorious. I was like, all right, Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. is going to be like our go-to time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we hope everybody is hanging in there and staying healthy and staying safe and staying home. We know it's hard. We know, you know, the whole try not to go play disc golf thing is difficult. We are trying to at least give you some creative ways to keep your game sharp. So if you go to the PDGA website right now, you'll see an article by yours truly with some ways to work on your putting game. And then, you know, and this is for too, like kind of with what Sarah and I were talking about last episode of, you know, if you don't have a basket, what can you do? Our tour manager, Andrew Sweeten, like set up a blanket in his doorway and dropped it down into a laundry basket, like perfectly emulates a basket. Several other things like that. And then I'm working on a couple more articles, one for driving, which I'm not gonna lie, telling people to do drives and approaches, very difficult. I did get some help from Mr. Sean Sinclair. He will be featured prominently in that article, and gonna take some things that Simon just told us in his interview, so
yeah,
that'll help too.
Great.
And then obviously some mental game strategies. We know it's tough. We know you want to be out on the course, but we appreciate, you know, those of you who are skipping the course and keeping yourself occupied in other ways. We don't really have a lot of news right now in terms of sanctioning. We're still at the April 30th being the timeline right now. I can report that last week the U.S. Masters Championship was postponed until 2021. It will still run in Columbia, Missouri, which is great. The guys up in the Quad Cities area of Iowa and Illinois were kind enough to step back to 2022, much like U.S. Women's situation. So we just super appreciate all the TDs and all the host clubs and CVBs who have been flexible. It's such an unprecedented situation. But I have to say, like, we've got such rad TDs. Like, these guys and ladies pour their hearts into these events, and they have still been so understanding about all the changes we've had to make and all the postponements and everything. And it's just, it's very heartwarming because, like, it's a hard thing to do, man. You put in hours upon hours upon hours of your own time into getting these events ready. And then we've had to say, hey, we can't do that. And so, on behalf of the rest of the PDGA staff, I just want to say thank you, especially to all of our TDs. They're how we survive in this sport. So thank you. Sarah, anything else terribly exciting going on in the disc golf world that you've seen? I know you've been kind of keeping track of some of the different, speaking of putting, there's the different putting challenges. Did you go live again?
I went live twice yesterday.
Ooh, twice? Wait a minute. They gave you two chances or are there two different challenges?
Two different challenges. So I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago, there was the DJ Heck Yeah.
No, you did not mention that one, but I just saw that one on Twitter. I didn't know you were in the DJ Heck Yeah one.
Yeah, yeah. So he's a DJ that's out of Rock Hill or Charlotte, I believe. And he actually DJed USDGC.
Yeah, he did all the music at the end of the USDGC.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So he's sponsored by Innova, and he was trying to get people engaged in a different putting contest. And he had people. So basically the whole shtick is you get five putters, and there's three stations, 25, 35, and 45 feet away from the basket. And you basically just have to be strategic and try to get as many points as you can with those five putters. So the 25 station is 2 points, and then 4 points and 6 points. So if you don't have any confidence with like the 45 footer, then probably stay away from that. Maybe stick to the 25 foot and just try to rack up points that way. But I did the qualifying, and I got into the bracket, the initial bracket. So it was 32 players.
I'm looking at the bracket right now.
So I won my first challenge. I think I shot an 18. So for when we started doing the head-to-head combat, you do Facebook Live again, and we kind of watched each other, and it was three rounds of five discs. So I think I mostly went from the 25 foot station. And then when I got a little confidence, I went back to the 35, but didn't make any of those. So I ended up with 18 points the first round yesterday. So I moved on in the bracket, was in the Sweet 16, and I faced off with a guy named David Redlon, who is out of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And I had a tailwind, and also I was just having like a severely off day, and I was just like front cage. Like, have you seen those Tyler Brickley videos where he's practice putting and he's just hitting front cage over and over again?
Right.
Like super accurately hitting the front of the cage every time. That's what I was doing. So I think I scored 12 points and he scored 16. So he moved on. So great. Good job.
Yeah.
I was super happy for him. The other people I saw moved on: Ellen Widboom, Rebecca Cox.
Yeah, we got some names here. Nathan Queen, Mr. Yeti himself.
Yep.
It looks like Jay Yeti Redding. So there's some names in this. If you go, there's a hashtag, because it's the Heck Yeah Putter Party 2020.
That's
hashtag
right.
HYPP 2020. You can check out the bracket on Twitter. I would imagine it's probably on Instagram too.
It is. Facebook as well.
Yeah. So
and
that'll
then,
be fun to update on. And then you did the other one then, the Global Pandemic Putting Challenge.
Yep. So that was so this is the third week of that. I'm not sure if they're going to extend it, but the whole idea with that one was, just try to make as many as you can from 20 feet. And so it's pretty funny because as soon as you turn the camera on, you get super nervous. And I think I called out, a couple pros last time for being in the zero club, and basically
it was just Thomas Gilbert.
Yeah. Sorry, Thomas. I wasn't going to say his name this time. But it kind of stinks because if you miss the first putt, then you're out, and you like went live and people are watching you and cheering you on and you're out. So the first week I got one, The second week I got two, and then yesterday I did my third because, of course, on my third putt I front caged it because that's what I was doing all day. Yeah, it was tons of fun. And I think the last time I looked at that Facebook group, there were like 3,700 people a part of it. Yesterday was fun for me because I actually wore a Wonder Woman getup that I was supposed to wear for a Wonder Woman themed 10K that has been canceled. And I was like, man, this is a great time to wear it. But I also want to give a huge shout out to Donna Barr. I just watched her video today and she hit 55 putts in a row.
Whoa.
And I'm not sure I wish I could go in really quickly and look at the leaderboard. Maybe I can do it quickly. But I would venture to say that that's like three times more than Courtney McCoy. The first week, I think, got 13 putts in a row. And that was really good at that time. The rest of us were getting like under five. So very, very impressive from Donna Barr. She's a rock star. And there's a bunch of Atlanta Disc Golf Club is doing their own challenge. I think Nashville Disc Golf Club is about to launch some kind of challenge. So it seems like people are getting really resourceful and creative to try to engage their disc golf communities. And, you know, hopefully people are not going out to courses, but staying home and staying in on the disc golf fun.
Exactly. There's ways you can do it. You can play some mini, you can putt, you can, I mean, shoot. Hopefully if you got like maybe like a blowfly or one of them super soft discs, you can just throw it inside your house around corners, work on your escape shots. There's lots of stuff to do, but I get it. It's hard. And we appreciate everyone and their understanding and their flexibility. And hopefully, you know, hopefully this doesn't go on too much longer. But I think we also, like, this is just me speaking as a human. This is not me speaking as a PDGA person or anything like that. Like, I think we need to just be flexible and understand that, like, you know, we have to be realistic about things. And if you pay attention to any other sports, you know, it doesn't sound like anything else is going to be starting back up real soon. I think there's some other steps that we need to be taking, like on a national and global scale. So hopefully, you know, we can get everyone healthy and safe first, and then the sports will be there when we come back. So I think that's probably the best way to look at this right now. So let's do this, Sarah. Let's take a break and let's play our interview with Simon, our episode number 100 interview. Always love catching up with Simon. So let's do that. And then we'll come back and close up the show. So we'll be back in just a moment with Simon Lizotte on PDJ Radio. So when we were thinking about episode number 100 of PDJ Radio, I was like, you know, who is entertaining and also one of my favorite interviews? And it's kind of a no-brainer. So, welcome to the show for the first time in quite a while, and honestly, we should do this more often. Simon Lizotte. Simon, thank you for taking the time out of your, I'm sure, very busy schedule right now, and thank you for joining us for episode number 100 of the show. How's it going?
Wow, Steve. Thank you so much, and thanks everyone for tuning in. That was like very, very nice of you to say. So I feel very good about myself right now. So let's get going.
Perfect, man. Well, thank you. I always appreciate your candor and just general honest answers in interviews. It's great. It's very refreshing. So obviously, you know, we're talking to you in some interesting circumstances right now. Not a lot of disc golf being played. But beyond disc golf, you're out in Massachusetts right now, right? What kind of lifestyle changes have you had to make just non-disc golf wise to, you know, all of this that's going on with the coronavirus?
Yeah, I mean, it's of course a whole different feeling now, because the main thing is just no one knows. Like, I don't know. No one, everyone I've talked to thinks something different. No one knows when it's going back to normal. And I think that's the biggest change in life right now, just to have no certainty on what is going to happen, when and how and if. So that's been very weird and kind of feels unreal sometimes if you like really think about it, like what's happening? Like it doesn't feel bad, but at the same time, you know, it's bad. So yeah, I mean, I've been home for more than usual, which is kind of nice. I mean, I always love being home. Having a home base in the States for like just over 2 years now has been super bonus. And weather is getting super nice here right now. Spring is kicking in. Even though we're not being outside a lot, I mean, I have that field I've been going to for the last 2 weeks now. Haven't seen a disc golf course in a while, which I definitely miss a lot and can't wait to get back out there. But yeah, the whole vlogging thing, the YouTube is going strong. The support and the growth has been pretty amazing and surprising and crazy for me. And that definitely keeps me motivated to stay productive and be active and just try to entertain the Frisbee world when Jomez and all the other guys out there can't. And I can't imagine what it's like to be the PDGA right now or tournament directors or disc companies. That's got to be so, so hard. But for that, I'm doing just fine.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. I mean, what's, you know, you have family in Canada and Germany, right?
Yes.
What's, you know, are you hearing any differences or noticing differences in how their countries are handling all this or how their lives have been impacted, or are things running similarly, you know, compared to here in the States?
Pretty similarly, I think. Like Germany, I mean, we all heard about Italy, that Italy has been hit very hard very quickly and that they're struggling and their whole structure is basically falling apart pretty quickly. And Germany's obviously very close to Italy, so there's a lot of concerns there. And that was like already a couple of weeks ago, almost a month ago. And Germany, I felt like everything happened a bit sooner than here in Boston. It happened a bit slower here. But I think right now we're kind of at the same point where it's like to only go outside if you have to. All restaurants, all unessential businesses are obviously closed. And yeah, I was like wearing a mask shopping the other day for the first time.
It's weird, right?
Everyone is wearing a mask now. I think Massachusetts says like that you have to wear a mask if you go outside or go shopping or anywhere with more people. And hand sanitizer in the car, of course, washing my hands all the time. It's just, yeah, these things are crazy. And I think Germany and Europe in general is pretty similar. I just talked to UC on the phone earlier today, and he gave me a little update on Finland. Finland, obviously, a lot less populated than Germany, but about the same size. So in Finland, it's actually pretty under control right now. But everyone's just being extremely careful and cautious of the whole thing.
So you mentioned that you've been really active on YouTube, and I got the chance to catch up on your YouTube videos today. How did the idea of these challenges come about? From just sheer boredom, or were you thinking about them before we went on quarantine? Talk us through that.
Well, I spend so much time on YouTube, so I follow a lot of other channels, also sports channels. Like everyone knows Dude Perfect, for example. Like challenges is like one of their number one things, next to trick shots. I've always been a fan of trick shots, obviously. And now Brody being in the game, Paul McBeth running his channel a bit. Everyone's kind of stepping up their YouTube channel right now. Drew Gibson's in there, Paige Pierce, and a bunch of others. Then it kind of just lays out perfectly to try to, like, not only just, like, challenge each other, but, like, also help each other grow, push each other. And whole different side and very new and very, very fun and entertaining, I think, to watch for people that are missing on disc golf tournaments right now. But the idea is just, I don't know, I'm not really a guy that plans a lot. I kind of just go out and it just happens. Like I always just completely rely on the momentum just to start happening when I need it, which is not always a great strategy. But right now it has been working very great. Like I don't know what my next video is yet, but I'm sure I'm going to wake up tomorrow and then I'll know. Like it's just, it's just like weird, not very smart, but it has been working. And that always just keeps it all also interesting and fun for me. And yeah, that's about it.
Well, you answered my next question then. It was, do you have ideas or like a running list for the concepts behind each video? But you pretty much answered that. And I don't think it's smart or not smart. I mean, if you just wake up and are like, man, this would be a super, super cool shot that I think people would like. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I did. So the video that you posted where you said you were like, it's really crappy outside today, I'm going to show you what I do around my apartment. You were like playing guitar and playing darts. And then at the end of that video, you said up to that point, you had had 400 people submit trick shots to be highlighted. Yes. How many people or trick shots are you up to now?
I honestly haven't opened my email folder, that specific one, in a couple couple of days, just because I'm like always worried to see too many new ones. And I'm like, I mean, it's fun to watch all of them, of course, but when I originally made that Facebook post, I was thinking like, yeah, maybe like 20 or 30, maybe 40 people will send me like a cool video I can work with and like react to. But then literally within like 2 hours, there was over 150. And then the next morning was over 300. And the next week over 400. And I keep getting notifications that some emails are rolling in. It's like one or two or three a day now, so it's not growing that fast. Also, I haven't been obviously not promoting it in any way. But yeah, there's definitely... My new idea was just to put one of them at the end of each video, just to have for the next 400 videos.
have enough trick shots. I heard that and I was like, yeah, that might take a while. Well, you did throw out the idea of just like splicing them all together and doing a highlight reel. I mean, I think that would be a cool idea.
Yeah, I did that. I mean, at first I took the first 30 videos and I put them all behind each other without watching them beforehand. Then I watched them all, recorded myself watching it, recorded my screen, and kind of did like a reaction video to them, like a first initial reaction and commentary to the trick shots or aces, whatever it was. And I edited it all together and it was done. And then I never posted it because I just wasn't quite convinced that it was good enough. And then I had the idea to make just a, I don't know, top 20 or top 30 video if I watch all of them and just post my favorite ones. But I don't know. It would just be like such a waste of so much good material if I could have like a little bit in every video rather than all of it in one video.
Yeah. Yeah, I see where your head is on that.
But a compilation video can definitely still happen. It's definitely one of my plans to have my top 10 or top 20 best shots will definitely be a compilation at some point. I just don't know when yet.
What's been your favorite video so far to make during kind of the downtime here? Like, which challenge have you enjoyed the most?
Oh man, I should have a good answer for that. I'm really trying to enjoy each and every one. The one that pops to mind is the one I did earlier this year with the Lazat lines. It was a video where Casey was just filming. I was playing nine holes at Maple Hill on the Reds course, which is the shortest layout. Every hole is like 150 feet. But I throw the craziest line possible on every hole and just birdie every hole, basically. And I ace one of the holes, too. And that's a video that I thought wasn't going to be that popular.
But are you kidding me? Like, people love watching you throw that kind of goofy stuff.
I know, yeah. But no, you know, with like one camera, and my camera couldn't really zoom very well, gotcha. So you can't really see anything. So I was like, okay, this is like, okay, the idea is not bad, but like the execution wasn't great, at least filming wise and production wise. I mean, my production value is very low compared to what other people can do and what they do. But I kind of like it that way. I like the amateur feel. I like kind of that I don't really know what I'm doing. And it's still absolutely the case that I don't know what I'm doing with anything electronics. I just have no clue. Like, that I even understand how to record on these cameras, that's pretty surprising. But it's slowly but surely getting better. I'm definitely learning every time I edit a video. I'm learning every time I am out there filming a video on what to do better next time. But Simon Lines video was definitely a huge surprise. It got like 120,000 views within the first couple of weeks, which was one of my best videos. Like that video did as well as videos that have Paul Macbeth in them. So that says something.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to just compliment you on being such a Renaissance man. Like in that one video, you're like feeding your what are they, geckos, lizards?
Oh, axolotls, yeah.
Axolotls, yep.
I wasn't even going to try that word. And then you've got like your slow-mo on your adorable cats and the guitar. I was like, man, he's got a lot of hobbies. It's super cool. So, but video editing, I mean, I think you're doing pretty well. So don't write yourself off in that respect. So in the other video that I watched today was the one that you're trying to do the double ace in the field, like throw two discs at once.
Yeah.
And have them drop into two different baskets. You said that that one took about 3 hours to film. Is that normal? Like, how long does it take you from start to finish usually to film one of these trick shot videos?
Man, the thing with trick shots is, I mean, everyone always wants to know how many tries did it take or how long were you trying, whatever, of course. But it's so freaking luck-based and it's so annoying that you just feel like, man, one day I should just hit, like, this craziest shot first try. Or at least like in 10 tries, like why doesn't that never happen? I always feel like I hit every inch around the basket, every square inch of air around the basket, except for actually the basket before I actually make one. It gets super annoying. And that, and this double throw, I think it was 2 or 3 days ago. That was definitely one of them where we just were out there and it could have happened in 5 minutes, but it decided to not even happen in 3 hours. And that's just sometimes the case. 3 hours is definitely longer than usual. I'd say I spend it like right around 30 minutes usually for a shot. And anything above that is very frustrating and also extremely exhausting for my body and my brain.
What about on the editing side? Like, you know, start to finish editing time. Like, how long is this stuff taking you to pump out?
It's changed a lot. I mean, I've gotten a lot quicker with shortcuts. I still use iMovie, which is an extremely simple down version of an editing software, and it's super simple to use, very easy. And if you know all the shortcuts, you can do very simple stuff, extremely efficient and very quick. That's why I really actually enjoy doing it, even though I probably lose some quality using that program. But right now, I'm posting every other day, and sometimes I'll film 2 vlogs in 1 day, which gives me material for the next 4 days. And if I film a vlog once a day and I only post every other day, I have like my next video for tomorrow is already done. Like it was already done yesterday, so I already have it edited and everything. So I will go back tomorrow before posting it and rewatch it and maybe change some things, because if you let a video sit on you and then rewatch it like a day or two later, then you'll often notice like things that you wish you would have changed. But the good thing is I didn't post it yet, so I can still change it. And I've really learned that if you have something you really like and want to post it, wait 1 day and then rewatch it, and then you are sure if you actually like it or not. So I'll edit it for like an hour, maybe 1.5 or 2 hours, and then go back the next day and put like another 30 minutes into it usually.
Man, it's a very mature take of you, like to actually like sit on it and not just get all excited and post it. I'm impressed.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's some videos are like this, some are like that, but I'm not that much into a routine yet where I could say that, but I would say at least half of the videos sit overnight at least 1 or 2 nights, yeah.
Now, I think the fun part that I've noticed is you have kind of spawned some of these other challenges where you keep, like, people keep calling you out in challenges now. I saw Ricky did the park shot challenge, and Eagle has the mile challenge. So do you plan to respond to any of those? Do you have response videos yet?
I definitely want to. I wouldn't say I have a plan because I'm on a baseball field, which is barely 200 feet wide or long. So I'm struggling to find a place where I can do that. I was going to drive maybe tonight or maybe tomorrow morning to a soccer field that is in the area and see if I can have enough room to do that kind of stuff there. But yeah, since I'm kind of in the middle of nowhere outside of Boston, I don't really know this area too well yet. I've only been living here for a couple months and obviously I've been gone a lot. So I don't really know where I would even go to find a soccer field. So I'm trying to find stuff on Google. And then we were like, what do I even Google to find an open field? Like, it's just hard. Do I just drive around and look? Maybe that's the thing.
I was dying at the Ricky video. He was like legitimately gassed at the end of that video.
Yeah, I've been talking to Ricky a lot. Ricky's actually in California in Redding right now, hanging out with friends of ours. We went to we went with them to Vegas also. I think that's almost 2 years ago now. Pretty crazy. And super cool crew. So those guys are having a ton of fun. And I'm jealous. He's hanging out in California doing all these challenges. And I'm kind of here by myself.
So one of the secondary, or I would say maybe an offshoot of doing these videos for you, is the fact that, for instance, the video that you just published a couple days ago, where you're, how long was that shot where you're trying to do the double ace? Like 150 feet?
Yeah, I'd say it's right about 150 feet. The great thing about videos is that everything looks further on camera than it actually is. So you can stand like 90 to 100 feet away and it looks like 150 feet. And you can kind of like cheat a bit that way. We definitely moved a bit closer after 2 hours.
Away all your secrets. Oh, nice, nice. Well, I was going to say, now with all that practice for 3 hours, like, you've got that completely dialed in. So do you feel like 3 hours of practicing like 125-foot approach shots basically will help you once your game restarts, hopefully?
Yes and no. The problem is that if you practice 150 footers for 3 hours and then you have a 120 footer in front of you, it will be very hard to throw 120 feet because all your body remembers is how to throw 150 feet.
True.
And I've noticed that in challenges, or if I try to hit a trick shot over and over again, if I then try to throw a different shot, I like throw the same shot I just threw for 2 hours straight.
That makes sense.
Muscle memory.
So you mentioned that you were talking to Ricky a lot recently. What are you hearing from other disc golfers about their experiences right now?
I mean, all I really hear is what people post on Instagram or on YouTube or on Facebook. I mean, on a regular basis, I only really talk to Eagle, I think. And he's obviously at home also in Colorado with his dad, and I actually sent him my old vlogging camera 2 days ago now, so he should have that by the end of this week, because he wants to step up the vlogging game again too, and because he's been filming on his phone forever now. So I sent him my Canon camera because I just upgraded my vlogging camera to a Sony. So I gave him that. So yeah, I know we're all just trying to stay away from courses right now, just to... I've actually received messages from other disc golfers around the world just telling me thank you for publicly saying that I'm not going to courses and that people should avoid courses, because it actually like helped other disc golf communities to like enforce those, I don't know, can you call it rules or laws?
Guidance.
Recommendations. Yeah. Recommendations.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I agree with all those people, and I do appreciate that you said that. Both you and Eagle were hugely instrumental in the PDGA helping to get that message out, because I'm sure, as you know, and as many people know, that's not an easy message to send. And so having you know, people with your level of influence and, you know, star power, it really does help us. So I'm 100% appreciative of that, and I'm glad that you've got some of those messages, though. That's got to be encouraging, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I mean, I've got the phone calls from the right people at the right time to make that call. And I totally think it's the right decision, even though sometimes playing disc golf, and even in like normal conditions, feels like social distancing already. Like most of the time, I'm totally by myself on a course. So it definitely took the right people to give me the right advice for me to be like, yeah, this is absolutely the right call. And I'm super glad that I made this decision already like 2 weeks ago.
Now, you know, one of the things that we've been trying to do then is like you're kind of coming up with content that's obviously, you know, very creative and enjoyable. Like we're trying to put out some content through the PDGA that's just like, hey, you know, what kind of stuff can you do to make your game better when you're, you know, at home. And I recall I went to one of your clinics, gosh, this is a long time ago now, and I remember pretty distinctly you talking about the importance of just being able to film yourself and look for things in your own form. And like, everyone's got slow-mo on their phones now. So I'm curious, like, for people who are listening, or even me, myself, if I'm going to go out in my yard and like try and take a slow motion video of my driving form, you know, what are one or two things that I could look for in a video like that to correct or to work on?
I mean, I wouldn't call myself an expert on that, even though I've helped a lot of people with it. The thing with me is always, I've started when I was two, so everything for me feels completely natural. I don't know what I'm doing or why I'm doing it. I don't think about anything while throwing. So all that considered, what's really important, I think, is to pause, because it's really hard to see differences with moving if you watch like yourself or whoever you compare yourself to while it's moving. Even slow motion, it's hard to see differences unless you have the, these obvious differences. So there's three main freeze frames you want. You want to stop. First stop is during your X step. So once, for right-handed players, when your left foot crosses behind your right foot, that's freeze frame number one that you want to pause and screenshot. Then your full extension reach back is where you want to pause and screenshot. And then your pull through, like the power pocket where your elbow should go to 90 degrees, where the disc is in front of your chest, basically where all everything goes right or wrong. That's where you pause the video and freeze and screenshot it. And then you have three pictures. And those three pictures you should compare with whoever you want, if it's me or Eagle or Paul Macbeth or Ricky. And then you can really see in those three frames, those are kind of like the key frames, and you can see differences very well if you have actual just pictures to look at over video.
Okay, there you go. See, that's very helpful. You say it like you don't know what you're doing, but you do know what you're doing.
I mean, I've done it hundreds of times, so I definitely have like the routine down, yes.
Do you ever miss like the old touring clinic days where you'd go out and, you know, just teach for a little bit and then put on the big distance demo, or did you burn out on that?
I definitely burnt out on that, but I mean, now almost 3 years later, I can definitely say that, I mean, I was aware at the time that it was going to be one of the best times of my life. And I definitely appreciated most things that I was able to do and see and witness. And the one thing is that I a bit regret is my first year with Avery, because it does not get better than being in a motorhome, touring the United States with Avery Jenkins, who knows literally every corner of the States. He knows hundreds of people in every city. And the connections and friends and family he has is unbelievable. Like, I was true. It's mind blowing, like looking at it now. But back then, I was 21. I've never been to the States. I never knew where I was. I didn't think anything of it. I just thought, yeah, it's Avery Jenkins. He knows a couple people, but whatever. But looking back now, I'm like, holy cow, I had this opportunity to be with this guy that knows everyone and everything. And I like basically just was on my phone in the RV, just never knowing where I was. So I look back and at that and think, man, I wish I could go back and appreciate and use the time better that I had with Avery.
So I remember I had a chance to interview you back in, I don't remember what year it was. It was the year you were touring around with Jamie Thomas. So I don't remember what year that was.
2015.
It was Flying Circus. 2015. Okay. That sounds about right. And, I don't even remember how we brought it up or why I was asking you this ridiculous of a question. But somehow you told me that you did not like In-N-Out Burger. Is that still true?
I would definitely not say that I don't like it. I definitely think it's extremely overrated.
It's overrated. Okay.
And I think McDonald's is better. So I don't know what that tells you.
I want you to know that I told this to my wife, who is a, you know, native Southern Californian, and that's literally like, she doesn't pay that much attention to disc golf, but literally every time I mention you, that's what she brings up, is that you don't like In-N-Out.
Oh boy.
I know. She is not forgiving
you.
Better
watch out. Tor, you're kind of like the king of bar and arcade games. I remember actually playing darts like in the vicinity of you. When was it? I guess Worlds, and when it was in Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah.
And I'm absolutely terrible, but I was obviously watching you guys in your game, and you guys were playing awesome. But are there any games that you are not good at?
Yeah, and this is very frustrating and almost sad and embarrassing for me to say, but as a German, to not be good at foosball is extremely, extremely punishing in life. And I mean, every bar in Germany has that. It's basically the national game of German bars. And I was just always the worst at that game, and I never liked playing it, maybe because I just wasn't good at it. But I tried so many times, but I just never figured it out. And that's always been one of my weakest points, as in bar games. Every other bar game, I can keep up pretty well with anyone, but foosball, I just never figured out. It's pretty sad.
I feel like now's the time. That's good to know. Go buy a table.
I don't like that game. I never want to play it again.
Well, it's a tough one to challenge you. I know a game to challenge you to now.
Yeah, you'll definitely win.
Not that I'm any good, but.
All right, so this is another question real quick, and I don't think Sarah has any intel on this, and I have very little intel, but I do recall you in the past saying that you went to circus school or circus camp when you were a kid.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
Can you just tell us an awesome story from circus camp? Like, I have to know, like, your best circus camp story.
Oh, my God. God, this is so long ago, Steve. You have no idea.
Like, how old are we talking here?
I was, oh, my gosh, let me think. I had to be, like, 13 or 14.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know, but I recommend anyone to go to freaking circus school. Like, if you know how to juggle, if you know how to ride a unicycle, those are all, like, super cool skills to have. And it's great hand-eye coordination training. It's great for your coordination. And everything else that I've tried, if you know how to ride a unicycle, you can hop on any freaking wheels and it'll feel easy. And if you know how to juggle, obviously, that's a great party trick. Whatever, like, I've juggled torches and knives before. It's just cool skills to have. And I just don't remember a funny story right now from 14 years ago.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Did you happen to go to circus school with James Conrad?
I mean, James is definitely my juggling idol. I know that. I don't know what circus school he went to, though.
Matt Dollar is also a pretty good juggler. I don't know if you've seen any of his stuff.
Yeah, I know, but I wouldn't call myself a pretty good juggler. I mean, I know how to juggle, and that's about as far as I'd go.
Can you ride a unicycle and juggle simultaneously?
I mean, I definitely was able to do it, and I probably could figure it out within 5 minutes. But right now, probably I would struggle.
I feel like that needs to be your next video. Not that you have a unicycle just like sitting around in your apartment, but.
Well, spoiler alert, for my next video, I just ordered some, like, plastic bowling pins.
Hey.
So we're going to do some parking lot disc bowling, and hopefully that's going to be fun.
Awesome.
That sounds fun. All right, last question, very important.
Uh-oh.
If you were to make a band out of people in the disc golf scene, who would be in your band?
Okay.
You have to be in the band, too, obviously.
Yeah, you're in the band.
Yeah, I'll be guitar. I'll actually have two guitars, but I'll be rhythm guitar and kind of like the acoustic Western style guitar. And then, wait, let me think. Greg Barsby definitely on the drums. Philo on the percussion and vocals. Who else is there? Does it have to be professional disc golfers? I mean,
no.
I know another disc golfer that's local here. His name is Nick Carl, who is one of the best piano players that I've ever seen. So he was also in one of my vlogs. He hangs out with Paul Macbeth a lot.
What's it say? Yeah.
So, yeah, he has a very musically gifted family, and his piano skills are insane. So I would want him on the keys. And who's the best singer out of... in the disc golf world? I don't even know.
Brian Earhart. Brian Earhart is very gifted at guitar and vocals.
Yeah, you're right. I've heard him play ukulele and sing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Brian Earhart on Jeff the vocals, Spring, that'd be great. Too.
Jeff Spring plays? I didn't know that.
Jeff Spring would be, oh my God. He would be special guest for one song. He's amazing. I think he's my favorite. Thank you for reminding me of Jeff Spring. I didn't think of him. But Jeff Spring is extremely good, like surprisingly good. I'm confident to say that.
Does anyone play bass? Are there any bassists in the disc golf community?
Oof. Bass.
Not that
we know of. No bassists?
I can't think of anyone.
Bass is very important. It's a very underrated instrument. It is. And it's very important to have a good bass player. But I don't think anyone, it's just hard to be like kind of like a solo guy that you play bass. You don't really hear that much.
Yeah, bringing your bass around in your touring band with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyone that's decent at guitar can figure out how to play bass, I think. Oh, some people might hate me for saying that.
No, but that's accurate. I think that's a fair statement. You may not be playing like Les Claypool bass, but you could keep it going.
Yeah.
So, well, Simon, we appreciate it, man. It's always a pleasure to catch up. I know before we hopped on the call, you did mention there might be a certain disc coming out soon that we should tell people about, especially right now. I'm sure, you know, listeners want to support you and other disc golfers right now. So this is your time. Give us the plug. What's coming?
Yeah, I mean, as far as we can foresee the future, because who knows what's going to happen, but the Sky God 3 has been ordered and is on its way to the Discmania warehouse and hopefully will be available if everything can stay open there. I know that Colorado obviously has a lot of restrictions right now, and they're only working with two people at a time in the warehouse, which is obviously very limiting. But Discmania is still standing strong and trying to keep things running, and the Sky God 3 has been long awaited. I can't wait to see how the stamp turned out. I mean, obviously, I already know how it turned out, but to see the actual discs, and I just hope people will love it and people get excited for it, because I can't wait to get mine. And you can count on the sickest vlog with the Skyguard 3. So I'm looking forward to it, and I think it'll be great for disc golf.
All right, well, we'll keep an eye out for it. Simon, thank you very much for the time. Be safe out there in Massachusetts, and we look forward to seeing what video comes out next.
All right, guys. Hey, congrats to the 100th episode. That's awesome. I love it. Keep it going, and talk to you in 100 episodes or so.
Well, let's make it less than 100, but thank you, Simon. We appreciate
it. Thank you.
All right, guys.
All right, that was Simon Lazat, and we'll be back here in just a minute on PDGA Radio. I think we should just have Simon Lazat on every week. He can be the third member of the PDJ Radio team. What do you think?
Oh, for sure. He can just take my spot.
No.
I'm just kidding. That guy, he's just so entertaining and engaging. And I would ask everybody, I think the most entertaining video that I've seen from him so far is not even the one that's super disc golf related. It's where he's sitting in his apartment bored because it's raining outside. And he's like, look at all of my hobbies.
And he's just crushing darts. Like, it's insane how good it is. Yeah. Yeah. No, he is very talented, very, very engaging. And just honestly, since day one, hasn't really changed. Like, that's the cool part that I really like about him is, like, he could easily be, and, you know, granted, we're still in disc golf, right? It's a pretty small community, but, like, he could easily be difficult or inaccessible or whatever, because he is one of the more high profile players. And honestly, like, you can just, he's also like the disc golfer you could just go sit and like chat and have beer with.
Yeah, he's the easy.
It's just natural. It's great. So thank you again, Simon. It's always a pleasure. And yeah, man, like that, honestly, that was like one of my favorite times on tour last year. Like, went and hung out with Simon and his girlfriend and Dominic from Germany, and we were in Santa Cruz, and we all went to one of the craft breweries there and hung out. Like,
nice.
It's kind of a bummer when you think about it. We don't do those things right now, but we will get back to it, and there will be pints to be had.
Yes.
Sarah, we'll close the show with a little bit of levity here. So obviously the internet has been a place where everyone is trying to entertain themselves even more than normal. And so there's been lots of like top five picks, or like, here's nine things and you can only pick three of them. Or the one trend that I've been seeing a lot is, you know, pick your quarantine house, and it'll give you like six groups of like celebrities or athletes, or I saw one that was like dog breeds. Ooh. Or different things like that, and you have to pick which one you would be in. And like, it's not all just six knock you out of the park ones. Like, there's a celebrity one that I showed my wife, and it was like, you know, there were like three really good ones, I don't remember them, but then it was like Kanye West. Nah. And like, I don't want anything.
I'd rather just be by myself.
And there was another one with like a few good ones, and then it was like Justin Bieber and Kylie Jenner. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, yes, thank you. So with that in mind, we put out on the PDJ social media today, choose your disc golf quarantine house, where there are five players and a course that you get. And so Sarah,
we're
going to go
through the course. We're allowed to play the course.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I mean, in this fake scenario, you can do that. Oh, that's funny. I just noticed, we had a player who we put in one of the houses asking if she can trade houses.
Oh my gosh. Who is it? Can you say?
Oh, it's Jessica Weiss. She wants to trade houses with, she wants to be in house four, obviously, because I put Garrett. I did split up some of the couples. Like, I wasn't really thinking about that when I made this, but
I love that.
I also split up Nate Dawes and Valerie Jenkins. So, yeah. Anyway, all right. So, for people who haven't seen this yet, it's over on the PDGA Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. We're just at PDGA, but we'll read it right now and we'll go through and pick our houses. So, house one, Paul McBeth, Hannah Blommers, Kevin Jones, Paige Hsu, Barry Schultz, and the Emporia Country Club. There's a lot of world championships mm-hmm. On that house.
Could learn a lot.
House number two, Ricky Wysocki, Kristen Tatar, Calvin Heimberg, Sarah Hokum, Juliana Korver, and Milo MacIver State Park, home of the Beaver State Fling. We have house number three, Paige Pierce, Eagle McMahon, Madison Walker, Nate Sexton, Elaine King, and Eureka Lake in Illinois. Again, that's what we got, 10 world championships on that house. House number four, Katrina Allen, James Conrad, Rebecca Cox, Garrett Gerthy, Ken Climo, and Maple Hill in Massachusetts. House number five, Chris Dickerson, Evelina Salonen, Jeremy Kohling, Jessica Weiss, Nate Doss, and De La. And our sixth house, Simon Lizotte, Jennifer Allen, Emerson Keith, Valerie Jenkins, Nicola Castro, and Fox Run Meadows at Smuggler's Notch in Vermont. So, Sarah, which house are you picking?
All right, nobody be mad at me for this.
No. This is all just fun.
I know. All right, so I went back and forth between two houses, house number one and house number four. So that would be... Well, I'm not going to read them all out again, but basically the deal breaker for me was the course. So I've played Emporia Country Club. That was house number one. And I have not played Maple Hill yet in house number four. And I've got a couple of close friends in house number four. So that's where I'm going. What about you?
All right.
Are you joining me in house number four?
I might be joining you in house number four because I've never played Maple Hill. I haven't played all the other courses, but I've been to all of them. So there's the allure of Maple Hill. It's good people. It's chill people. So I would go house number four, or, I don't know. It's hard because most of the people are pretty cool. I would go house four or house six, because I think a house with Simon Lizotte and Jennifer Allen would be a pretty good vibes house for the most part.
We don't get access to Ken Climo that often either. I would love to be in a house with Ken Climo just to pick his brain. And my husband Sean used to play with him back in the day too. So it'd be fun to hear some stories.
Some stories, some Sean stories. Yeah. Maybe we can get him on the show to tell us some Sean
stories. Or we can get Sean on the show to tell some Climo stories.
That would be good too. I'm sure he would like to do that. Yeah. No, there's, I mean, look, this is, this was kind of a fun post to make, and reading the comments is even more enjoyable because just everyone's justification for where they went. There's a lot of house sixes. Some people going with house five or house six because they want Nate Doss or Valerie Jenkins to bring them some of their craft beers. You know, and then there's been a lot of people making their own house sevens. So that's, you know, if their favorite player wasn't involved, they've been doing that. So keep an eye out because we do have a couple more of these posts coming. There is going to be one. It's going to be not your quarantine house, but your quarantine disc golf bag, where you have to choose, based on the, you know, the molds that would be in your bag. So that one will come out soon. But you know, a little bit of levity and a little bit of fun in a time where, you know, admittedly it's a little bit tough right now, but I think we're all doing our best to get by. So, you know, go and check that out if you have a chance. And if you've got any other good, if you've seen any particularly good, like quarantine house posts that maybe you want us to share, like not necessarily disc golf related, but just other celebrity sports, whatever, send them to us at radio@pdga.com. Sarah, do you have any shout outs this week before we go?
I don't think I do. I'm sure I'll think of one as soon as we hang up.
Probably.
But not this time, though.
Yeah, I do have to say this is a fun piece of minor news. So one thing that we're doing in our house to pass the time, because like even if we get back to disc golf and work and all this stuff, like my daughter is not going back to school this year. They've already confirmed that. And she's going to be doing distance learning and stuff like that. You know, so we're trying to stay occupied and stay home. We rented a pinball machine, and we now have a pinball machine in our house.
Wow, I never even thought you could. Is it from like a party rental place or?
Well, so here's how it worked. Like me being the nerd that I am, I end up finding all these niche kind of things, and pinball is less niche than say disc golf, but there's still like an odd little like side internet community for pinball. We had actually been doing a bunch of research. We wanted to buy one. My wife has always wanted a pinball machine. And so right before all this happened, we were getting ready to buy one. And so we'd done a bunch of research and narrowed it down. And then we decided, well, it's probably not the best time to go and make a big purchase like that. But, in that process, we found several people around us who service machines and stuff like that. And one of the guys, his business is he owns like 15 or 20 pinball machines, and he puts them out to restaurants and things like that. And with all those places being closed right now, he's renting them out to people at home. So it's great. I mean, like, so, you know, it's at least he's probably not making as much money as he would if these were out in, you know, bars and restaurants, but it's better than them just sitting there collecting dust. So we have a Ghostbusters pinball machine in the house.
Very cool.
Now that in the evening times, my wife and I battle on who has the high score.
So who's better?
It's been fun. Currently I have the high score, but that could change. That could change right now. She could be playing it right now and I don't even know it. It's, I got it probably, which is fine. That's good. She's got some catching up to do. So it's fun.
Speaking of video games, we've got the mini NES.
Oh,
and
nice.
Sean figured out how to do the jailbreak thing where it comes with 30 games, but my all time favorite is Tetris. And of course Tetris wasn't preloaded on it. So we now have like all of the games in the universe, and we were battling, on two player Dr. Mario.
Oh,
and I'd like to say I am better.
Nice.
Yes. It's one of the few things that I win at.
It's kind of fun, like to discover or rediscover all these kind of old things that are like kind of it's the comfort of nostalgia, you know, that I think is very important right now. I know I'm listening to like a bunch of old music that I haven't explored in a long time and stuff like that. So. You know, whatever you got to do out there to keep yourself like mentally strong right now, I think is important, even if it is, you know, stuff that seems like it would be for kids or whatever, like just escape a little bit, you know?
Oh, this isn't really a shout out, but, so something else that I've been busy doing is making, masks, because I have a former little bow tie business. And so I started up videos and templates and stuff for not the medical grade filtered masks or anything like that, but things that you can kind of wear out and protect yourself
when you go shopping and stuff. Yeah.
And I found some really good videos. Maybe we can drop the link in the episode description. But it turns out that I had all of the materials that I needed for this. So I'm making a few for some local friends that they can just come and pick them up. But yeah, they're kind of tedious, but they're easy. So if you've got a sewing machine and some fabric and you got some time on your hands, maybe it'd be worth doing.
Yeah. Awesome. And I'm sure if there's one thing I know about disc golfers is that they are very DIY
friendly. Very crafty.
Yeah. So I bet people have stuff laying around. Yeah. We'll put that that link in the description and people can go check out how to make their own mask. And, maybe we'll see some good disc golf related ones. Who knows?
So. Yeah, that'd be awesome. I just made a camo one.
Nice. My sister-in-law sent me one, and it's a Star Wars one. I'm not a Star Wars person myself, but I will take it because it's protecting my face. So
yes.
I'll take it. All right. Well, hey, Sarah, again, thank you for 100 episodes. Here's to the next 100. That sounds like a lot, but I'm sure before we know it, we'll be doing 200.
It'll fly by, I'm sure.
Yeah. All right. So for Sarah Sinclair, I'm Steve Hill. Thank you for listening. It's been a pleasure. That was PDGA Radio. Be good to each other, and we will talk to you soon.